very much money, so I was like, God, I really, really need your help. And the second thing I did is I called somebody I knew that knew stuff about secondhand cars, because there was no chance it was going to be a new one. And so my friend Lee said, oh, yeah, I've heard about this car in Letchworth, an Astra. It'll be great. It's cheap. I was in. And so my best friend Richard drove me to literally the estate, just a stone's throw from here, to go and see this car. And as we pull up, we've got the address, as we pull up, either side of the walkway down to this house were Astras. So there was a black, shiny, sleek, beautiful alloy wheels in it, spoiler, three-door, very sporty. And on the other side, there was a old, red, rusty Astra Estate with a double spoiler, as many called it, a roof rack. And so we went down to this door, and we knock on the door, and I introduce myself, and the guy says, oh, let's go and take a look. And as we walk up this path, this fast, beautiful black car is to the left, and the other one was to the right. And as we walk up the path, under my breath, I'm saying, Jesus, please may he turn left. Please may he turn left. And we get to the top, and he literally stops, and I'm like, oh, Jesus, left, 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 left. He turns right. And what you have to know is that I absolutely love cars. In fact, I love cars so much that I've even happened yesterday, driving home from Hitchin, I'll be having a serious conversation with my wife, and we're in the middle of a serious conversation. It turns out that stopping saying, oh, Ferrari, is not appropriate. I actually think it certainly is. But anyhow, so we turn to this red car, and with a heavy, heavy heart, I buy this old red Astra Estate with a double spoiler. Roof rack. A little bit under my budget, which was a real bonus, and I was a little, I'll be honest, I was a little bit sad. I was like, God, I really like black fast cars. But that car served me well for the next 2 years. In fact, it gave me the space that I needed to cart all the stuff I need to cart around for my job. It was super reliable, it was cheap to fix, it definitely wasn't a head turner. But why do I tell you this? Well, the reason I tell you this is because that car, God fulfilled my need and not my greed. God gave me what I needed when I needed it. And I prayed, God, help me out. And I don't know if you've ever prayed God to help you out and you've had an idea of how that prayer is going to be answered. I certainly did. But again, the Spirit moved through people around me, through friends that I knew, because I was willing to step out and I said, God, this is my need. And he fulfilled it. And it gave me hope that actually God listens to all of our prayers. That whatever we have, God listens. It may not have been what I wanted, but I persevered hopefully with that car. Because God was in all of that. And as we're thinking about this emerging hopeful, I know Martin and Jenny, using in Rachel's thoughts, have given us some great things to think about. You know, contending for the faith. Looking to be holy people, you know, building on that holiness. And I want to share a few thoughts today on persevering with hope. And there's two things we're going to think about. It's first of all being hope-focused, and the second one is being Spirit-filled. And so it's no shock to any of us if I turn around to you to say the last 18 months have been a bit challenging. Is that fair? I think, yeah, there's nods, no doubt nods at home as well. It's been really challenging. They've been a tough time. And at times, even Jenny, as I talked this morning, it's been hard to hold on to hope. It's been difficult to maintain a hopeful outlook. Sometimes it's felt almost impossible to share hope in these really tough times. And some young people, you know, we go into schools and say, we've been actually in schools face-to-face all the time since January. So even when schools were closed to other people, it was an amazing thing where schools actually in Toronto said, oh, no, we're not letting external agencies in, but you're different. And we've been in schools, and we often get young people say to us in schools, well, it's all right for you. You're a Christian. Because we all know being a Christian means it's a pain-free, easy life. Is that right? No challenges, no struggles. It's literally, it's like the benefit. You say, God, I want to follow you, and God just writes you this life, simple life check. Is that fair? It's not, is it? We know. In fact, sometimes it's tougher because we already know that we're going to face challenges. We already know that we're going to face difficulties. You know, Jesus was really good. He said to his disciples, you are going to face persecution, betrayal, hard times. Yet follow me and have hope. He promised that, you know, I love that in Matthew 10 where he talks about having that focus on hope, persevering to the hope that we are promised. And as Martin shared the other week, Jude, and I love this about Jude because he's a brother like any, hands up, anybody got any siblings? You know, no doubt some at home have also got siblings. You know that basically we never believe our siblings. Is that right? And that's exactly what Jude did here. You know, Jesus had already said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light. And Jude's probably sitting at home thinking, psh, I do not believe that. Yet, when he sees the Spirit move, he is compelled to share that hope. He believes then that what his brother said, somebody who had spent time with Jesus, couldn't cope with it before, but then suddenly sees the Spirit move, and he is compelled to share, to tell us, to share that hope. As believers, we do not live life alone. We know that whatever we face it with God. That whatever struggle or trouble or difficulty we face it with God. That we do not face that trouble or struggle alone. Professor Steve Peters, who wrote a fantastic book called The Chimp Paradox, he talks about recently in a podcast where he was interviewed, he said, we've got to stop offering people empty hope, just platitudes. He said, we've got to give people real hope. And when I heard that, I was excited because I don't know about you, but I know somebody that knows real hope. And in fact, a minister from USA, John Mark Comer, who wrote the book Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, if you've never read it, a really good book, he talks about being people who offer holy hope, not hollow hope. Not just saying it'll be okay. Because actually sometimes I'm not sure it will be okay. Jesus never said it will be okay. But he said you do not face this alone. And so God calls us, no matter what's going on, to be people that will share holy hope. Hope that will change lives. And we get this hope from God. You know, I love in the Old Testament where, you know, the Old Testament is a book that sometimes as Christians we avoid because it's pretty scary. There's some deep stuff in there. But in Isaiah 42, it talks about Jesus being the hope of nations, the hope of the world. And I think if any other time we need hope, it's now. And God calls us to be people, Jude calls us to be people who share that holy hope with others. You know, God's Spirit is in us. We're not doing this on our own. Even going back to that story of the car, you know, I really do believe, pray about everything. It's one of the things I encourage people. Somebody once said, you know, if you think that God's only interested in like the big stuff, like if you imagine your life's like 1 to 10, God's only interested in 6 to 10, I said no. Either pray about everything or pray about nothing. Because in reality, God's so big, why should he care about anything that we have? Yet he does, and it blows my mind. So God says, pray about everything. Put our hope in God. And Romans 5:3-5 says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And as we emerge from this time, we're still working through this pandemic, but as we emerge, as we start to reconnect, as we start to regather back here at church or with friends or with family or with our connect groups, with people in supermarkets, let us be people that will share hope. Not hollow hope, but holy hope. Let's be people who will persevere with hope. Hope that can change lives. But how do we do this? Well, I want to encourage us to think about being Spirit-filled, to share this hope. And the story of Jude gives me hope because, again, as we say, he was somebody who did not believe in Jesus until he saw that resurrection. He saw the Spirit move. You know, his brother was nailed to the cross and died. Yet he saw him raise again. And he is now compelled to write, to say to them, to be Spirit-filled, to act upon that. I love that verse 20 where it says, you know, that hope, that Spirit that we've been given. And everything God asks us to do, he empowers us. He gives us the tools to do it. He gives us the help and support needed, the Holy Spirit. And Jesus told his first disciples, I will send my helper. We're not going to do this on our own. And we will do greater things, which I always think is quite crazy. Even the gospel story there, he gave sight to the blind. And yet God says, you will do greater things. You and I will do greater things. And Jude is telling his readers of this letter to be led by the Spirit. To allow the Spirit to lead us. And this is the same Spirit that is present today. My children love Prince of Egypt. And in that bit where Moses goes up in the burning bush and God says, I am. That's the same God that rose Jesus from the dead. And that is the same God that is alive and present today. That's the same God that I believe gave me that old clapped out red Astra with the double spoiler. God is alive today. And we're not just some sort of fleshy Uber vehicle for the Holy Spirit. It's not that, you know, God just calls a fleshy Uber and off we go. Actually, we are partners. We work with. We're co-workers. God calls us to be part of this. To work together. And that, even as I say that, I get sort of tingles thinking about that God calls us to be part of this. And it can feel a bit scary, is that fair? It can feel a bit scary to step out in faith. I lead an organization. I want certainty. I remember saying right at the early part of the pandemic, I said to the team, as they looked at me for answers, of which I had none, and I very rarely do, they looked at me and I said, the only thing I can be certain about is that everything is uncertain. And that's the only certainty I can offer you. And it can feel scary to have a step of faith, but I want to encourage us to step out in this Spirit. But like every act of faith, it takes one step at a time. That's how we do it. And many of us pray a prayer every day that maybe you've never realized is one where you're asking God to lead you by his Spirit. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I love that because it says, God, lead me today to bring your will, to bring your hope, to do your work. And as we emerge hopeful, I want to encourage us to step out in faith and ask God, Holy Spirit, show me where I can bring your hope today. And then the challenge is to be open to that. And the step of faith is then acting upon what pops into your mind. And that's the crazy bit. Rick Warren, pastor of Saddleback, he says that God gives us inspiration. We have imagination. And I'm somebody with a huge imagination. But I have to trust that when I pray, God gives me inspiration. And will I act upon that inspiration? Will I be led in that Spirit? And what's great is that God doesn't just say, right, Kieran, because I really do have a crazy imagination sometimes. If you meet my children, my wife often says, they are your kids. And the great thing is that God doesn't say, right, I give this. We've got ways to test it. We've got his word. We've got his wise counsel, those around us. That's why actually being in community and connecting together, coming back together to do this stuff is really important. Because sometimes I feel God saying something, and I'll call good friends of mine, call people in my home group and say, look, this is what I feel God's saying. And I'm going to do it, but I need you to pray. Tell me if I'm crazy or not. And sometimes they say, that's a good idea. Sometimes they say, I'm not sure. But we've got ways of testing it. We can always go and check it. And what I love about the Holy Spirit is, again, we read the Gospels, and there are some amazing things in there, aren't there? Life-changing. But also there are some small things in the Gospels I sometimes think we miss that are a work of the Spirit. One of them that I really love is where Jesus says, just before he comes in for Palm Sunday, he says, go and get that colt. And if they say, why? Because literally that's like stealing a car, I guess, in biblical times. He says, you know, the Lord needs it. They let him take it. Or they go and sort out the upper room because somebody is waiting. That, I believe, is the Spirit moving, preparing people. And this is what I love, is that actually the movement of the Spirit is sometimes just simple, everyday things that allow hope to be shared to fill other people. And so I want to share two quick stories from my life that I really believe have been completely Spirit-led and have given hope, not just to myself, but to many others. And the first one comes, actually, when I was, my journey with faith was probably over about 4 or 5 years of being invited to church with some friends when I was a teenager and wrestling with that. And about 18, I became a Christian. And I remember sitting up in Luton in the church I was attending. And they come up and they stood on the platform and they said, we need volunteers for car park, so car park duty, or Sunday school. And they talked about car park duty, which meant you had to wear a bright yellow jacket, be outside in the cold and wet. It's Britain, so we have, what, 4 good days of sun. And that's what you had to do. And it was, because they couldn't have much money, it was one massive coat that whatever size you were, you wore. And I'm not the biggest of people. And so I was like, well, I'm not keen on getting cold. But then they talked about Sunday school, and I was like, but I don't really like children. And I had to balance which one was at least worst. But the thing is, I felt compelled. Something in me said, Kieran, you've got to do something. Faith is active. Don't just sit there. And so reluctantly, I made the best of a worst decision and chose Sunday school. And I went to that place, and pretty much from that very first Sunday, something in me changed. In fact, all I can say is that I felt alive. I went there with a low expectation of hopefully going home and not hating them too much. But I left that place desperate to get back the next Sunday. Why? God had done something in me. All I can say is that I just felt as if I had come alive. It was like a huge light bulb. Purpose, hope, and future is what I found. Why? Because I took a small step of faith to do something I didn't really feel like I wanted to do, but I felt compelled. Fast forward a few years, and I'd been doing this Sunday school every week. Loved it. It was literally, how do I get through the week? I was working for my dad, and he was a financial advisor, and I love my dad, but I am not a financial advisor. And I used to get in trouble for being on the phone too long, because I'd connect with people and you just be nice, and they're like, time is money. And my dad had visions of it, you know, being passing the business on to one of his sons, and that was me, because the other two had decided they didn't want to do it either. And if you've ever worked with your family, you can't quit, right? So I used to pray every day that I'd get sacked, because it felt like the easiest way out. But things were going on, and I was loving this Sunday school, and there was this opportunity to go and work for a charity for a year to discover whether youth work was something I wanted to do or felt right. And I felt compelled to do it, and so I did quit working for my dad, which was a whole other story in itself. We do talk. I love him very much, and he still loves me, I believe. But I went and I quit my job, and my family weren't into it. My family don't really go to church, and so I was already the odd one out in that sense. And I went to do this thing, and so I quit my job. And on the Friday before I started on the Monday, so I was going to volunteer for a year. This is really important. Lady Marion calls me, and she says, oh, Kieran, we're really excited about seeing you on Monday. There's just one problem. We haven't received your £500. To which I laughed, thinking this was a joke and a strange joke. And I said, well, I'm coming to work for you for a year for free. Why do I have to pay £500 to do this? And she said, oh, look, don't worry. Just bring it with you on Monday and everything could be fine. So I put the phone down. This is late Friday evening, so about 5:30. My family already disagreed with everything I've done. I've broken my dad's heart by telling him, Dad, I don't want to take on your business. That's not me. I had about £4.97 in the bank because I hadn't really had a job since I quit. And so Friday night, I did what every sort of early 20-year-old would do. I just freaked out. That's what I spent Friday night doing. Saturday, my imagination, remember I talked about that? I had wild ideas of how I could make that £4.97 £500 by Monday morning, which also meant I just freaked out and did nothing. Sunday morning, I still remember walking to church, and I was angry with God. I was really angry with God, because I'd really upset, I'd really hurt my mum and dad, and I love my mum and dad. I'd given up what would be a fantastic career, very beneficial. I'd made choices because I felt God had led me. And now, at this final moment, it's all come crashing down. And so I got into church, and I was angry, I was annoyed. And I sat down, and then this guy comes up to me, and he says, "Are you Kieran?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Come talk to me after church." So now I'm like, great, now I'm in trouble, and I don't even know what for. This is the last thing I need. And then he said, "You need some money. Come see me after church." So I have no idea what they talked about that day. But I went to see Steve after church. And Steve said, "You need £500. I said, "Yes." I said, "Steve, how do you know?" I didn't know who to talk to. I'd never asked people for money before. I didn't know what to do. And so I hadn't talked to anybody about this. He said, "I was driving to church this morning, and I felt God say you needed £500. So he said, "I just have to give it to you." And so Steve wrote out that check, and he passed it across to me. And I took that on that Monday. And that small step of faith has actually led me to where I am today. Because Steve was willing to act upon some inspiration. Yes, it was going to cost him some money. But he trusted by doing that, that hope would be shared, that God would move. From that choice, thousands of young people I've been able to connect with. I worked out once, probably nearly 40,000 young people I've spoken to throughout my time, nearly 20 years of working with young people. All from Steve's choice. All from deciding to not do car park because God moved. And so as we come into this time of emerging hopeful, let's be people that are willing to share that hope. Let's be people that are willing to say, "God, use me. May your will be done today." It might be uncomfortable. It might feel a little bit scary. But by taking step by step, we can share God's hope. We can see God move. And we can emerge hopeful. Let me pray. Father God, I thank you that your Spirit that called the world into being, that rose Jesus from the dead, is the same Spirit here today. And I pray, Father, that you would move in us. Help us to take those steps. Stretch us. Make us comfortably uncomfortable for your sake. Help us to emerge hopeful, to be Spirit-filled, to be people that love and share your light, like that beacon of light, like that lighthouse. In your holy name, amen.